Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of LEGIONPODCAST. I am Murray Fox, and this week I am an officer of Shrub. I am snipping, hacking, ripping up bushes all weekend long. The weather was glorious. We had like...
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Like, was it just the beginning of last week that we had snow?
Yes, it must have been. It was. As we recorded this show, the snow that had appeared the night before had just melted.
Right. Yeah. Well, it melted all right because it was beautiful. It was like tank top and sandals weather all weekend long. It was glorious. Yeah. I got out in the garden. I was able to put up the Christmas lights. And then I tested them on the spotlights and stuff and realized, oh, that shrub that we planted like 20 years ago is really big. It needs a trimming because they do that. Apparently they grow. And
this is what I hear. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and I don't know what I was thinking. Like when we ripped up the lawn and we put in all these perennials, I thought it's going to look so amazing. I just get to put them in. Perennials do their thing. You can just leave them alone and you don't have to water them. You don't have to worry about them.
I never need to tend to this.
No, but then they grow and they move and suddenly the vision that you had in your head is not what you're seeing. Anyway, so I've got this bush, this little tiny shrub is now, it's like taller than me. It's like 6 feet. It's like.
It's not that tiny then.
It's not that tiny anymore. So I started snipping it and then I realized, ooh. That's not the right shape. So I like started hacking away at it. And then I realized this is like the bad haircut gone way too far, except I can't just put a hat on it. Like if it were
me snipping
my hair, I'd just put a hat on for a month. But the bush is not going to wear a hat. So yeah, I kept cutting and cutting. And finally, I was like, oh, damn it. I took it like right down to the ground. It's gonzo. It's the bush is no more. But the floodlights look amazing.
Well, there you go. Yeah, we had we have that tree, that sort of willow tree in front of our house. Right at that front porch. And and we used to kind of give it a bit of a mop top. And that would be so that we could, you know, like if the kids were playing across the street, we could see them. Right. We could like sit and on the porch there and see what they were doing. Then the people we liked moved away. And so our kids don't go over there anymore. So we let it grow so that we could like sit out there and have privacy. And so it basically like blocks out that whole sort of front for us. And so we did that. And then so I went to trim some of it because we had like some things, like we had some little sort of ceramic things in the garden that are nice for us to look at. And so I started trimming at it because my father-in-law has decided I am done with this stuff. I don't have to do it anymore. And and so he gave us like his big ladder and he gave us this never used trimmer, which is, God, it's fantastic. And I went a little nuts with it last month. And and all of a sudden, like one side of the tree, you know, the side of the tree that is at the front, like the people can see from the street.
Yeah,
that's
you
all
can't
intact.
See it.
Yeah. That's all intact. On the other side, it's like, yeah, we can see everything underneath there. And Jan was like, that might have been a bit much. And it's like, come on, you've seen how this tree works. It'll all grow back very quickly.
Yeah.
And I have since been vindicated.
Perfect.
But time basically was wearing a hospital gown.
That's exactly it. Yes. And So I appreciate what you're saying there, Murray, you know, and hey, anytime you want to borrow the super trimmer, because you would love it.
Excellent.
I can already tell that you would love it. And you know, just hop in the tunnel. And
Perfect. Excellent. Yeah. Because I'm sure it'll all be different in the spring anyway. When they all start growing back, they'll...
Absolutely. I'm already looking forward to it.
They'll have moved. They'll have replenished and reinvigorated themselves, and suddenly I'll be looking at another jungle.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm with you. We're kind of looking at ways to elongate the fall. and you know, we think that if we assume that the winter isn't happening, we can, you know, stave it off for a bit.
Oh, when the next snow comes, it's going to be killer.
Because let me tell you, like last year at this time, I can remember, like, for Remembrance Day, Veterans Day, for those of you south of the border, we went to a service at the at a nearby cemetery, and because the kids' classes were there, and it was like deep snow and cold as heck. Like we were like, oh God, did we bring enough? Did we give the kids enough stuff to wear this morning? And
oh boy,
and we're out there today. And Jan and I went for a walk at lunch today. And you know, and it's you know, like you said, it's shorts and t-shirt weather. And so you know, we did our daily walk in that, and it was delightful. All about holding off. You know, I could live in fall for a good long while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and me co-opting on Marie's intro. I am Paul French, and I am a director of class. My kids decided that, you know, we don't want to do the dishes, and there was a big revolt about dishes, and so I decided I will give you a break from dishes tonight, but the rest of the week is all yours. Oh, and by the way, I made dinner. I did dishes the last couple of days. I'm done with that. So we need to look again as the director of class. Children's lunches are self-sufficient, and so they're like, okay, fine, as long as we don't have to do dishes tonight. And you know, it was just one of those things where it's like, I've got places to be, and so I will take care of these, but the rest of your week is, you know, and they think it's the making of lunches that is going to be the hard part. It is the getting approval for your lunch that is going to be the challenge. And you know, that assumes you can get me to look up from my book, because I have my plan for tomorrow morning, and that will be that will be sitting there with my coffee with my feet up and saying, no, you need a protein.
That's right.
But I got all the different groups, Jeff, and the Halloween candy. I got chocolate, I got peanut butter, I got peanuts, I got gummy,
and that's where I take it out and say, you got a rock. So yes, we went through that today, and I said, okay, I'll make a deal with you. You guys don't do dishes tonight, but you do them the rest of the week without me having to tell you, and you make your own lunches. And they're like, oh, we got away with murder here.
Well, it's not their job. It's future them's job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And future them is going to be so pissed off with past them.
Well, past them is always such a pain in the ass.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'll give it to a few, you know, the kids are like, we'll give it to the future kids. They've done nothing for us. I understand this. I understand this sentiment. So there we go. Exactly. Why, when I was their age. They forget how vengeful daddy can be. So,
well, I'm Al Sedeno, and this week, well, besides having some chaos last week, so one of the people at my grandmother's funeral I talked to was my mom's cousin. He was the person who helped me move some of my comics down that I already have down here. He was going to help with the others, but because he's my mom's cousin. He's a little older. He had an issue with sciatica. He's not sure if he's doing the moving stuff anymore. He said, so I told him, don't worry. We'll worry about it. Feel better. And then we'll worry about it then. Because he said he still wanted to help.
Feel better. Well, and then you're doing it.
Well, he said he offered. So I'm like, all right, when you're ready, we'll do it then. No rush. Well, I get a call from my father about 11 o'clock this morning. So the guy telling me that the guy that he sold his truck to, you know, that my mom's cousin sold his moving truck to, he's helping with like one or two more things before he stops doing it. They're loading stuff up in Long Island. They can be there around 6 o'clock tonight. This is how much it's going to be. Are you ready to do it now? So I had all of a sudden now rushing around to figure out if we could get this done today. Because this is all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So... It looks like they're going to be – actually, they were delayed, so they're not picking up tonight. It's getting picked up tomorrow morning around 7, and hopefully it won't cost extra because my father had guesstimated about 70 boxes, but he said it's closer to 100.
Oh, baby.
So right now, I am an agent of comics coming over, moving it carefully. Shit!
A 100 boxes?
Yeah.
Of comics?
Yep.
Like long boxes?
Some long, some short.
Ooh, baby.
So on average medium?
Yeah, and plus I have like 30 short boxes here.
Wow. Oh, boy. You could open up a shop.
Well, remember, I mean, well, A, the store I went to, I would help out at times on weekends. Like, he would get collections. I'm like, you know, I would... organize it for him and put it away for like credit.
Yeah.
So like, and then I worked there for a couple years.
Put it into your back car.
And then I worked there for a couple years as well. So I was able to get a lot of stuff.
Oh, for sure.
So this is the question is, will I be able to make enough selling it quickly enough to make back, to pay back the money that we're spending on it? Especially coming up with holidays and other things that we have planned to do with the money.
Oh dear.
But it's still the cheapest way because any other way I figured out, the cheapest way otherwise would be like $1,200 without this help.
Ooh, oof, baby.
So, little, I'm not as happy about it as I thought I would be. I'm a little, like, anxious.
That's okay. You can, like, drape a blanket over it and you've got a bed or end tables.
In case she gets too pissed at me, I end up sleeping in the storage unit with them.
They're totally comfortable to sleep on, I'm told.
I'm going to be doing a lot more time, be spending a lot more time on eBay. I'm going to get those down here.
Woo. All righty. I'll be watching the eBay.
Indeed.
The eBays for deals.
I'll be putting stuff up there. I'm like, who wants this? Please take it.
I'm just going to start undercutting you. All righty. Amazing. 100 boxes. Oh, my gosh.
Well, there's also, I mean, it's not all comics, to be fair. There's also some toys and statues and stuff.
Oh, yeah. All righty. That takes up space, too.
Yeah.
All right. So, we are looking at Legion 90, the last Legion 90.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This is it. It's all over after this.
It's all over. Whole new restart, whole new ballgame next month.
Bold new direction.
Totally. Yes.
Well, could very well be. Ish. Yeah. So, Legion 90, number 22, by Alan Grant, Jim Fern, Jeff Albrecht, and a cover by, I'm assuming, Gary, what's his name, Leech?
Yeah.
And he does amazing covers. I don't know what he'd be like as an interior artist, but his covers are dynamic.
Yeah, this Lady Quark one's really cool, especially with the coloring.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, who is this one?
Gary Leech.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, his interior stuff on that, he did that first run of Miracle Man with Alan Moore, and it's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. His internal stuff is outstanding.
Good. Because his external stuff is very good.
Yeah.
And Lady Quark, she has got the best and the worst costume. Like when it's all Kirby so crackly, true. It's yeah. such a cool design. And then they should have realized that when she's not Kirby crackly, that she's just, it just doesn't work. Like they should have just, they should have found a way to keep it always crackly, I think.
Yes, yes. Well, it was this idea that it was usually a just a plain leotard.
Yeah.
And then when her powers are active, it looks cool, but yeah. it looks really it's silly.
But it just looks
just super plain
lame when it's when nothing's happening. It's just terrible. Like it should almost be like a Rorschach mask that's always like shifting and bubbling under the surface.
Yeah,
that's kind of probably funny. Why she didn't take off as a character.
It's kind of funny considering the character. I mean, she talks about how she was royalty and like there'd be pageantry about her and like, you know, there'd be she was talking about the parade the other issue when they got back. Uh-huh. And it's like, really, for someone used to stuff like that, having just a plain yellow costume.
She's like the Princess Margaret. Is that the one?
Yeah, yeah.
She's the Princess Margaret of her.
Yeah, and her it makes planet. Me think of when Joan Rivers used to talk about Queen Elizabeth and how it's like, you know, it's like she's wearing her tiara and a house coat.
That's right. Lady Quark isn't even wearing the tiara, and she's wearing a yoga suit. Yeah, exactly.
yogurt pants.
Oh, poor Lady Quark.
Will she ever win?
Well, no. Spoilers.
Oh, heck. Yeah, that's right.
Which is just too bad. Too bad. However, we're not there yet. We got lots and lots of ways to go before we get there. All right, so we are opening up on an issue called, I had to read this title a lot before. I figured it was Staroom, as if it was some sort of explosion, but I think it's Stardoom.
Yes, as in like
Mr. Star with an extra R and then Doom.
Yeah, Stardoom, like Stardom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that's the title. We'll go with that. And it's by all the regular people: Grant, Fern, Albrecht, Laverne, Kinzerski, Gaspar, Monsieur Gaspar, and the mighty Art Young. All right. So we open up on a dynamic scene of Strata grabbing Docs by his collar. There. Damn it, Docs. Larissa is dead. I want the truth. Who is that girl? Why'd she kill Larissa? And he does a great Strata, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Big and powerful. And then we have Lobo piping in there. Yo, big girl, make the creeps suck rock. Count on Lobo.
Yeah, he's helpful. Exactly.
And Docs is playing it weird. He's like, what makes you think I know anything about her? And they are not having any of that. They just say, well, you know everything that goes on around here. And besides, you had the telepath scan her. So talk or I'll break you into little pieces. And Doc says, all right, I guess you deserve to know. And he says that Larissa was killed by Lydia, her own daughter. And they don't believe it, because as far as they know, Lydia is supposed to be just a cute little pumpkin baby.
Yeah.
And Docs explains.
Or blueberry.
Or a blueberry, yeah. Totally, she's a blueberry baby. She isn't now. She's been aged, and someone has turned her into an assassin. And they want to know who. And he finally explains it's the computer tyrants of Kalu. And they are none too pleased.
Mm-hmm.
So they figure that the tyrants are on Talok. And Docs asks Strata where she's off to, and she just says, I'm off to Talok. Of course, you started this feud with the Tyrants. We should have finished it a long time ago. And she just kind of smashes through the wall and then storms out. We should have finished it before it was too late for Larissa. And so they all start chasing after her. You're crazy. Come back here. And FaZe is saying, wait, you can't go alone. And Lobo's just like, hey, looks like we're gearing up for fun. So we got the whole team starting to go off. And then Captain Comet holds the new guys back. And he says, nope, this isn't Legion business, Garv. And Telepath agrees that this is personal. So they agree they're going to hang back while the rest of the team goes off to visit Talok 8, which is where we go now. We go to Talok 8 and we see Mr. Star floating in the air above the Bex. He's just blasted them, but they are not dead. They're just squished on the ground a little bit. He's just pulverized them a little bit. He's saying there's not a force in the galaxy that can stand up to the champion of Talok. And Beck is like, are you all right, Mary Jane? Aye, but the eye. And they realize the eye is unharmed. So Garen says, destroy him. And the eye lets off a big boom and blasts Pulsar Stargrave, or Mr. Star, I guess. He hasn't taken on the Pulsar name. Blast them, and the castle comes crumbling down, and they are... I love how Mary Jane is just patting the little emerald eye. Good eye, good eye. Pat, 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 pat.
Scratching behind the ears. Pet.
That's right. That's so true. The eye is just, like, lapping it up. See how even the darkest evil crumbles before us, Mary Jane. Truly, we will change the face of the entire universe. Aye. Thank you, aye. But of course, Mr. Star is not squished. He just lifts all the rubble, throws it away. Will you never learn? I am the ultimate intelligence encased in the most advanced bioform, fueled by the energies of the stars themselves. Nothing that lives can stop me, including this pathetic eye. And he just kind of gives it a pounding, and the eye goes, it ping-pongs away. It's like it's in a... what's that game? That thing?
Pinball?
Pinball, that's it.
He
pinballs it away. It goes careening off the buildings and is sent flying.
He gets tilt.
That's right. He's totally tilted. And the Bex decide that they are going to go after the eye. They're not going to take on Mr. Star. They're going to go after the eye. After it, we dare not lose it. They must have like a sliver of power because they're still flying.
Yeah.
So
I assume most of their energy ability comes in the eye.
Yes. So, yeah. They're flying. So apparently they still are connected to the eye a little bit. And Mr. Star watches them go. And then he's like, he's excited by this. He's like turned on. I feel a tingle of excitement. Can this be what men call fun? So he's got a taste for the hunt right now. And the Bex are looking for the eye. Eye, where are you, eye? It's all right. It's only us. And they find the eye like hiding in a little cave or behind a rock, just quivering. Mary Jane comes down. Oh, look, Garen, the poor thing's quivering. I think it's frightened. And she gives a little hug. There. Did that nasty man do nasty things to you? And Mr. Star comes zooming in. And Garen Beck gives him a blast, but it's a pretty tepid green blast there. It's just kind of like a weak, it's totally weak sauce. Perish, fiend, by that paltry bolt. Your eye is too afraid to help you attack, Beck. Let us see if it is up to defense. And Pulsar Stargrave gives him a big solar blast. And Beck goes down. You have to fight back. You have to, or we're all dead. And Mr. Star is grinning. He's like thrilled. You are all dead anyway. And his hands are getting ready to glow and deliver the killing blast. But we go off up into space where we see the Legion rocket ship. And it's probably Strat. I joined Legion because of Larissa. I won't let her death go unavenged. Dox is saying, but there's no need, Strata. I already sent the Bex and Lady Quark. And FaZe just says, the Bex, they're not even capable of looking after themselves the way that eyes got them. And Lobo's just like sitting back, legs crossed, arms crossed. This is going to be a hoot. Dox is like, why are you here, FaZe? This isn't your fight. And she stands up to him, which is good. She's...
Yeah, about time.
Yeah, she's finding her new role here. I'm a member of Legion, too. Larissa was good to me. She was my friend. And besides, I won't see Strata fight alone. Mm-hmm. What are you sniggering at, Lobo? You didn't give a damn if she lived or died. So what, man? I like a good fight. So Docs kind of narrows his eyes. If I try to stop them, it could shatter Legion's very core. Besides... it is high time the computer tyrants were destroyed. So once again, he's taking advantage of everything available to him and working it to his advantage.
Exactly. That's what Nox does best.
That's right. That is right. At this point, Lady Quark makes herself known. She's reminding us that Vril Dox told me to stay away unless the Bex seems certain to lose. And that time is surely nigh. So she comes flying down, zaps Mr. Star, like zaps him hard with her nuclear energy. And then while he's kind of dazed, she grabs him and flies him out into space, way, way, way out into space. And while he's gone, the Bex kind of wake up. Oh, I feel weak. We must overcome the Eye's fear, or I fear we are doomed. And the Eye has not come out of its little hiding spot. And Mary Jane is just kind of, she's trying to coax it out. It's all right. The bad man's gone. You can come out now. It's no good, Garen. It's absolutely terrified.
This is kind of weird.
It is weird for the Eye, right? Because we're used to seeing it as this powerful weapon by the Emerald Empress. And then by the end of her time with it, it was... definitely controlling her, like it was the force in charge.
Yeah, more so even than the Bex, even.
Yo, but yeah.
Here, it's almost like it's not done yet.
No, and I mean, so, I guess it's got 1,000 years to
get worse.
There's to, that. Yes.
Yeah, to become.
Yeah, it has time to get more evil.
Yes. Right now, it's just a baby Eye. It's just a little baby Eye learning how to be evil.
That actually kind of fits with, especially when Beck first got it. Remember, he killed everyone on that ship. It wasn't killing people because it was bothering, you know, in any specific reason. It was just killing them out of like instinct almost, because like, you know, he would have a bad dream and someone would die.
That's true. Yeah.
It's almost like you give a baby ultimate power and it's just like, I'm crying, so I just cry. And if you happen to die because you're in front of me when fire's coming out, well, that's just because I'm crying.
Yeah.
It's a little baby Eye.
Like Jack from, Incredibles.
Yes,
that's right. I. Let's not go down that road.
Yeah, we have enough eyes as it is in this issue.
Yeah,
I agree. Okay, so we're out in space, and Lady Quark is zapping Mr. Star. Out here in space, I can use my power to its full extent. There is little doubt I will need it against this self-made monster. His speed, he weaves away with ease. And he's thinking to himself, those nuclear bolts of hers are indeed potent. But Mr. Star still has the upper hand. So he flies directly into the sun. And it's so bright, Lady Quark can't really see what's going on. And while she's blinded, he comes zapping out of the sun, grabs her and pulls her deep, deep, deep into the sun. Why don't you join me inside? For here in the very heart of the sun, my power is unlimited, unstoppable, ultimate. So he's beating on her, telling her, cease your struggles. Mighty as you may be, none may stand against me. None. And she succumbs. She gets knocked out. And he tosses her out of the sun towards Talok. And she just starts falling through space towards the planet. Knocked out.
Not good. Not good. He's stops just short of saying that he is inevitable.
That's right.
It's realized he's doing a reverse Superman. Instead of throwing stuff into the sun, he's throwing stuff from the sun.
Away from the sun, exactly.
That's right. He's the anti-Superman. That's true. Yes. So true. That is the point that the Legionnaires arrive. There they are. It looks like Lady Quark is getting the worst of it. What can we possibly do against power like that? And Stratus says, our best. And if it isn't enough, at least we'll know we tried. I'm looking forward to it, says Lobo. That bastard crashed into my cycle once.
Yeah.
And FaZe says, speaking of, where's Docs? In there, private business. And he's in the maintenance room, putting things together. The tyrants wouldn't be able to run Talok unless they had some source of vast power. They escaped me last time. This time, I have to make sure. Plot their course, FaZe, and get ready for a rough landing. Mary Jane has finally coaxed the eye out of its little hiding spot. You see, I told you it would be all right. We won't let that bad man hurt you again. But I guess we do kind of see that the eye's influence is fading, because when she says, I told you it would be all right, eye is spelled correctly.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not peppering their speech with every conceivable way of working the word I into their sentences. So.
Mm-hmm. Or the letterer got tired of it.
Or the letterer was like, yeah, this has been going on for a year. Enough.
Gaspar is tired of this.
That's great. Totally. He must have like a certain number of I's written into his contract.
And he was a busy fella too, so.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
Yeah.
So while Mary Jane is talking to the eye, Garen Beck points to the sky, well, balk me with a used sock, which is more Garen than we've heard in a while.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Balk me with a used sock. I'm going to see if I can work that into a sentence tomorrow.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking. Maybe not around the kids.
Oh, I have to say, used socks. The kids, I was helping out in one of the classes today. They were doing a math lesson. They were all working on these giant whiteboards, partner work, socially distanced mask, blah, blah, blah. They had to erase the whiteboard, and the little dude I was working with decided the best way to erase it, because he was going to like just swipe it with his hand. And I was like, ugh, don't do that. No, no, no. Go get your little eraser. So he took off his shoe, took off his sock, and erased the whiteboard with his sock.
Yeah. Wow.
Gross. Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
Well, the eraser's all the way over there, the other part of the room.
Yes, you're right. It is way over there. It's so easier.
10 steps to get to it.
Yeah. I mean, the socks are literally right there.
Yeah, they're on his feet.
They were peeled off his feet. Peeled off his feet.
Well, that's how he knows they're good for that. You know, he's been had them for so long. They told him.
This was a day when the mask was a good thing, is all I'm saying. Anyway, they see Lady Quark falling from the sky. Come on, Eye, you have to do something. She'll be killed if you don't. So the Eye musters up enough energy. They're able to make like a small green blanket, an energy net. They catch her. They let her down gently. And Beck is totally back to normal. Lady Quark, snap out of it. He'll be coming back. And he gives her like a smack on the face. That is not going to go over well if she was awake. Nobody's slapping the queen.
No.
I like after he's saying, hold her, let her down gently so I can smack her.
So I can slap her across the face. Chunk.
Wake up.
Yeah. I am back, witless one, burning with the solar power I have absorbed. So, Star is standing there on the mountain, looking all glowy, getting ready to blast again. FaZe and the crew have arrived in their little ship. FaZe, take the controls. But, Strata, just do it. Where are you going? Out, and as for what I'm going to do, I'm going to kill a monster. So, Strata dives for... Star land, like, just pile drives right into him and then starts wailing on him.
That image of Strata jumping out of the ship is fantastic.
It's so good, right?
Yeah.
They misspelled, it's clobbering time.
Well, you do raise a good point.
That's true.
I mean, it's perfect. I mean, that fits perfectly. That could have been the torch in the thing.
Yes. Yes,
totally.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Jim Furen's artwork is dynamic this issue. Yeah. Like, he's really got the characters moving really well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So he slams into Star, starts pile driving on him. Your turn to suffer, Vermin. And Lobo leaps down. Hey, Rocky, save some for the main man. And so Lobo gets his hits in there, too. He gets his arm around Star's neck and just starts super noogieing him. Bat, 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 bat.
Yeah.
Slamming him on the head. Star, of course, wakes up, zaps them both, sends them flying. Now acknowledge me, your master. I'll acknowledge your nose with my knuckles, chump. And FaZe comes out. And I feel like this is like the first time she's really really joining the team. Like she helped out in the Dagon Ra battle, but she was just one of the officers in the crowd. Whereas this time she's like taking on more of a Legion role. Like whatever heroism is deep inside of her is starting to come out, I think, a bit. So she says, they don't stand alone, tyrants. Where justice is needed, Legion will be there. So she faces Mr. Star. He blasts her, but of course it goes right through her. You have the privilege of dying first. And she says, yes, if you can hit me, Baldy. And he apparently has never come across a big Zetillion before. What is this? Another of Vildox's tricks? He's afraid to face me, so he sends his lackeys to die for him. We don't need Dox. We can beat you alone. And he keeps trying to zap her, and it just goes right through her. And Dox is happy with that because Mr. Star is all distracted. He jumps or flies in behind Mr. Star. My patience wears thin, woman. Would you rather die a long and lingering death? And Dox leaps on him and jabs him in the neck with a little device. This is giving me the chance to do this. Mr. Star screams as the device goes into him. The pain! Get it off! Get it off! And Lobo grabs Dox.
All I can think of is Dr. Smith from... Lost in Space. Oh, the pain! The pain.
That's totally it. Lobo pulls Dox out of the way. You hurt me, you mere mortals. Dare to vie with my eternal machine purity. Let my power build. Let all the energy at my command. Ugh, what is this? No, the pain! And the... the little stabby thing in his head is like sparking and doing its thing. And Dox does a quick explanation. My electronic disruptor is playing havoc with his computer consciousness. Now, Lady Quark, Beck, Mary Jane, hit him with everything you've got. So they do. They give him a big zap and he shouts, no, stop, stop. My power levels, I can't control them. I'm going to go Nova. And he explodes with a baba kaboom. Baba kaboom.
Yeah.
He explodes. Everyone goes flying. And when they all wake up, eventually, Lady Quark is the first to wake up. Fortunately, I'm still alive after all that. But the others, Vril, are you all right? The computer tyrants? Gone, it seems. Totally destroyed. But you knew that would happen when our energies met, didn't you? We could all have been killed. No, I knew the radiation released would be mainly in a form harmless to us, but lethal to Star's bioorganics. And the Bex wake up. Where is it? I don't know, Garen. I, you can come out now. It's all over. And Mary Jane realizes, I can't feel its energy field. The eye is gone.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so when they said last issue that we would know one way or the other whether she's going to become the Empress, I think this is probably what they were talking about.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the eye just, it just scrams. It's had enough of these people, and it's gone. FaZe picks up Strata or helps Strata up. We did it, all of us, working as a team. We beat them. Yeah, would have been perfect if only Larissa hadn't had to suffer, and if Stealth could have been here. And that brings us to a little interlude with Stealth. For better or for worse, she's made it to a little jungle planet. And she's talking to herself. It seemed to make sense to stay with the ship, but something, some instinct says no. Some primeval feeling I don't know, I didn't know I had, and I followed into the jungle, down to the river. Not exactly the maternity ward I'd have chosen, but what the heck. Docs won't be finding it anytime soon. So she takes a seat on a little beach, leans up against some trees or some rocks, and looks at all the jungle greenery around her. I'm the only sentient being on this planet, yet I feel ridiculous. Am I so afraid of Docs? Do I really hate him this much? Yes, I am, and yes, I do. So I sit back with my eyes to the rock and my eyes on the river, and my instinct says, wait. But for what? And that's the end of the issue. We get a little blurb that says, whatever happened to the Derlin? Next issue. And that is it for this.
Well, there we go.
Uh-huh.
Looks like we wrapped up a few storylines. Got rid of the eye, got rid of Mr. Star.
Yeah, they're really cleaning house as they changed the title logo again.
That's true. Yeah. It's almost, a new year. It's not quite a new...
Yeah.
It's almost a new year for the book.
Yeah, exactly. They're clearing the decks for sure. All right, I am going to read us some feedback.
Cool.
Which will actually kind of give us a little setup for next week as well.
Ooh.
From David Spofforth, he says, too bad about Larissa. How are we going to keep up with the rolling news of who is planetary champion?
That's true.
We potentially have a replacement.
Well, there is that, yes.
As the new planetary champion.
He says, if you're fans of Richard Pierce Rayner, you should check out the Doctor Who graphic novel, Evening's Empire. It was supposed to be in black and white and serialized in Doctor Who magazine in 1991. So Sylvester McCoy is the Doctor in it. But only part one was published before, and this will get you, Rayner's part two art was mangled in the post and returned to sender months later. So the strip was abandoned. Ah!
You're kidding.
Yeah, that's a hell of a thing.
You can't even imagine that happening nowadays.
Well, exactly.
Sorry, go on. You get diamond shipments that get lost all the time.
100%, yeah. But the actual original art, you assume that was going to make its way. But so it was abandoned at the time. However, it was completed, colored, and published in a special in 1993, and then finally published in the intended black and white in a graphic novel in 2016. Although some pages of original art had gone missing again. So instead of repurposing colored pages from the 1993 special, Rayner redrew 7 pages from scratch. He says you get a very strange mix of 1991 and 2016 Rayner. Now, wow. I don't I don't know how much other work Rayner has done. And thank you for that, David. Because, I was familiar with him from some of his Who's Who pages, as well as some work he did in Hellblazer. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was around when this came out. So I assume he's been busy since then. If only Comic Book DB still existed so that we could look such things up. But
that would be nice.
But alas, I'm sure the Grand Comics database has something, but it's not the same. So I really liked his style, and I certainly enjoyed it in the issue we're going to look at next week. Some of these guys, they kind of, you know, they disappear after a while, but then you realize it's because they were working somewhere else. So he did a lot of the big book ofs from Paradox Press, like the Big Book of Urban Legends, Big Book of Weirdos, Big Book of Death, Big Book of Conspiracies, that one I have, Big Book of Freaks, Big Book of Little Criminals, Big Book of Losers, Big Book of the Weird Wild West, Big Book of Grimm. There was a ton of them. I know Bill Alger worked on a few of the
I had no idea they did that many big books.
Oh, yeah. And of course, the other big one that we should know him from, and talk about burying the damn lead, Road to Freaking Perdition.
Oh, that's right. That I had.
Yeah, because that is where I knew of him from some of the earlier stuff like Hellblazer, Swamp Thing, and the issue of LEGION that he did. But yeah. Road to Perdition. Again, talk about burying the damn lead.
Wow. Definitely the most famous out of all those.
Oh, for sure. And and they did. I don't know if he worked on the sequel to it, but because they did do a sequel to it, didn't they? That kind of tied into Road to. Here we go. Road to Perdition. Then On the Road to Perdition, which was a three-part miniseries of graphic novels. Then there was Road to Purgatory and Road to Paradise. And I don't know.
Those Bob Hope and Bing Crosby movies really took a weird turn.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't look like... It looks like the artists on the Road to Perdition was some guy named Jose Luis Garcia Lopez with inks by Joseph Rubinstein on volume one. Damn. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that. And on the Road to Perdition book two, Sanctuary, again, Garcia Lopez with Steve Lieber, as was volume three. And then, So, and then Return to Perdition was Max Allan Collins writing, as he did for all of the rest, with Terry Beatty, who his Wild Dog collaborator, and that was in 2011. So I think it sounds like Rayner worked just on the first one. But given I think that one did some huge business, so I hope that left him well taken care of.
By the way, that's kind of a nice little bit of synchronicity that both the shows this week on this feed are going to be talking at some point about an artist doing work on something and then in the same book having it being done by him from a while later with a different style.
Totally, right? Yeah, we just talked about that on Legion of Substitute Podcasters about Giffen kind of picking up on his, you know, like literally like the last panel of a page. And then all of a sudden, as Giffen was wont to do, in a completely different style with just like, all right, there it is. Weird.
Yeah. Going from his Kirby-esque style to his like trencher.
Exactly. Anyway, in 1989, Rayner won the Eisner Award for the Russ Manning Promising Newcomer. And so he did some early issues 10 to 16 of Hellblazer with Jamie Delano, which, oh God, is fantastic. It's just great stuff. So, yeah. Anyway,
excellent.
We'll talk more about him next week.
Totally. Excellent. Well, that probably brings us to the end. There's not much. The letter column is just typical quiet. Just people jibber-jabbering about the annuals. Some jabber.
a little jabber.
I'm trying to remember something real quick. Was Pulsar Stargrave, I forget stories of him in the Legion, like in the original ones of the 70s. Was he this powerful back then? Do you anyone remember? Because, I mean, he's really powerful here, obviously. I mean, he's flying into the sun.
I think he was generally as powerful as he needed to be for the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like he was in his first appearance, although it's hard to say because he also had like that Quicksand and Holder person as his henchman.
I mean, not that it affects anything. It's 1,000 years. Who knows? But I'm just curious if he was, if this was like what it was like back then. I can't remember, or if he was, this is more powerful. Because right now, as we're reading this, I'm thinking, I really wish they would have done something with him in the Legion book where they could have had like him versus Bion.
Oh, I feel like
that could have been fun. I mean, both ultimate, ultra-powered, almost like robots.
Yes.
Or sentient robots.
Yeah. I feel like he was, when he killed off Ultra Boy, I feel like he was powerful. But again, he's hardly around. Like, he's one of those characters that was introduced and then kind of set aside when the creative team that introduced him vanished.
Yeah, because I don't think Levitz used him at all except in the sub-special.
Yes, that's about it. Yeah.
All right, just curious.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll see him again in the series.
In this series? I don't remember.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. Huh. Did you know that Larissa died?
I did.
Who, the planetary champion of Talak?
Yes, that's right. How will we keep track?
Someone has to say it.
Yeah, exactly. It's our last chance.
Because neither one of them show up. You know, she's not in this issue at all because, well, she is gone. And there's no Lydia in this issue.
Yeah.
No, and Lydia, she's not really... she's not big on the speaking yet.
and is maybe not, shall we say, planetary champion material.
Not yet, no.
Not right now. She has some issues to deal with.
Indeed. Wow.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, that brings us to the end, my friends.
All right. So, comments can be sent to us at Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can head over to the Legion of Substitute Podcasters website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. Over to you.
Right. That is right. So... that's it, guys. We will see you all next WEEK.
LATER.
AUF. WIEDERSECHEN.
Is that German? That's victory! German.